Okay.
Councilman Napper, I think these three vehicles here, we're talking over $90,000 each.
Right. 92 and some change. But there's $45,000 of the plow package and the body equipment.
Exactly.
Upgrade. The base truck, I think, is somewhere around 50-ish. Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Chief, no, sorry, this will be to Christie. So Christie, these vehicles here are $524,000 for these two vehicles. And in your capital budget.
Which vehicles? Did you say $525,000?
I'm talking this line of vehicles, $278,000. And item number five, which is four additional trucks for $246,000.
Okay.
That comes up to $524,000.
Okay.
In the capital budget, you've only appropriated $460,000 for these vehicles. Unless you plan, are you getting a dump truck this year? You got a dump truck in your capital budget for $220,000.
So we're working on getting things together for the dump truck and the service truck. So obviously, you know, we've asked for, I forget exactly how it's worded in there. I don't have the document in front of me in the capital budget. But so there is obvious, there's an additional purchase, but this is coming from the water department funds, which is an enterprise fund.
I'm in the water department.
Sorry?
In the water department, you have utility pickups in progress, whatever in progress means, for $230,000. A service truck for $160,000 and a replacement of service vans, plural, for $70,000. And that totals $460,000. The two items that you have for the water department before us now come up to $524,000. So where is the other $64,000 coming from? Because
all
I don't see it in the capital budget.
All of these items are not coming out of the capital budget. They're coming, well, they are. They're coming out of water's capital budget, which is enterprise funds, which is budget code 84799. And there's $4.2 million in there right now.
$4.1 million, I think, as of today?
$4.2
is what we awarded, what we approved, I think, was 4.2 we approved.
Yes.
And I think as of today's Munis report, it was 4.1.
I haven't looked at it, but
yeah,
there was
I did.
Four, it was budgeted as mm-hmm. of for fiscal year 26, 4.2 million.
Mm-hmm. But what we approved in a capital budget for purchases of these vehicles was 460. Now you're asking us to approve, or you will be when you get the other item in, for 524.
Correct. The department is making a request for the vehicles in the capital, but not all of them, but the pickups, or I'm sorry, I don't have the document in front of me, but what's in the capital budget, and they're making another request for additional vehicles. It would be no different than me coming to you 6 months from now and saying, you know, we'd like to buy another Ford Explorer it's a request. It's not in the capital budget. It's outside of the capital budget, but we are allowed to make the request
mm-hmm.
under ordinance 5610 of the city, of the.
It just wasn't planned for in the capital budget.
No, but right. Water has the funds in their budget code.
Okay. Councilman Muto.
Thank you. As you can see, we're extremely sensitive to spending money this year. The reason is, as you know, I'll reiterate, we had the highest tax increase in decades. We have unforeseen liabilities that are coming. We have no idea what's going to come down the pike in about 2 months. The budget is about our priorities for the enterprise, the city. I appreciate what you guys are planning, which is addressing the issue with CDLs and coming up with resources and equipment to accommodate that. Again, I will reiterate, Chief, this is really what I was trying to get at last Monday, is we need to understand more. We need to understand more so we can get on board with the long-term planning. I will ask you a question because I see the bids don't expire until January of 2017. What is the risk if we do not approve this today and we push this 2 months from now when we know a little bit more of what we're facing?
We won't get any vehicles.
Okay.
I'm sorry? We won't get any vehicles. We won't be able to get any vehicles. This vendor is holding 7 vehicles for us based on the outcome of this meeting tonight. And if we, the council decides not to buy them, they will sell them to someone else. And then we can go out to bid, and then we will wait over a year to receive a vehicle because it's not even built yet.
Which was my point earlier. Okay.
Chief. Mr. Chairman, Bill Vicente again. Councilman Mito, you bring up a good point. We do have a lodge tax increase, but previous administrations, not just administration, but administrations, have deferred investment in our infrastructure for years and years and years. And that's one of the reasons why we are where we are. So I would, again, ask you to allow the City of Warwick administration to run the departments as they see fit from the experts, the operational experts that will use these vehicles as they're being sold.
I don't disagree with you. And that is really the main point that I'm trying to make is for decades, we have ignored capital planning and we're still, you know, looking at purchasing without a plan. And if there is a plan, we want to know about that. And that's really why I went to you last week to right. say, this is what we need. Spending $500,000 at this point within the first year of a new budget doesn't really sit well with me either. A little uncomfortable with okaying that type of expenditure without a clear understanding of the jobs to be done and the plans to really leverage this. And there may be plans in the background, but I think we need a little bit more help with that.
I understand. Also, there's no tariffs on these as well. So if we buy any other vehicles, there'll be tariffs. And these are, again, through the enterprise fund that are paid through the ratepayers, not general tax dollars. I know that doesn't matter, but I'm just saying that again.
And Chief, with all due respect, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of vehicles out there on lots with no tariffs on them. And we don't even know if these tariffs are going to come to be. But I think, for me, the point is this. We would all love to have a Mercedes. We'd all love to have one. But we can't afford it. I can't afford it. So you have to drive something else. My point is, I think that the same job can be done without spending over $90,000 per vehicle on these three trucks. And it makes even less sense when we come to item number 5, because those trucks are $30,000 less than the three that you're trying to buy now. So anyways, I think we've had this conversation long enough.
Again, Councilman, if we don't buy these trucks at $90,000 a piece that can be used for meter service as well as plow trucks, we may be coming back to you for probably $60,000 worth of vans and probably plow trucks. So which would probably be more than $100,000 combined, because you're not buying a $40,000 plow truck. I don't know, you can't plow with an F-150, you can't plow with an F-250. You can if you want to plow for 1 year. These are heavy-duty trucks that we're trying to save the city money and try to be as efficient as possible.
Which brings us back to the point of what Councilman Muto said about fiscal efficiency, I guess, is the way he worded it. In any event, any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman.
Chief.
Yes.
The purpose of buying these vehicles with this plow package is that you're looking forward, and based on history, last year, this past winter, the winter of 23-22, we have had a problem getting outside vendors to come in and plow the streets of this city. Is that correct?
Correct, but it's not just the plow package we're looking for on these trucks. It's the utility bodies.
Okay.
Because the services change.
So the administration, DPW, the departments have looked forward and said, financially, fiscally, effective and efficiently, if we buy these vehicles and have a plow package on it, it will help us solve a problem that we have historically had for the last 2, 3, 4 years that I've been on the council. Is that correct?
Yes, and the problem is not going away.
So you are thinking ahead, and based on your experience and the experiences of the heads of the departments, this is the avenue you think we should go in.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions? Councilman, Council President Sinapi?
If possible, can Councilman DeLuise go first? You had his light on before me.
I'm sorry?
Councilman DeLuise had his light on.
Councilman DeLuise.
I just have a question. Okay, so say we have a year where there's not a lot of snow, okay? Can you explain to me exactly what meter service is? And if we don't have a lot of snow, these trucks, what is another purpose that these trucks will do? Say we have a year. This year, we didn't have a lot of snow.
So these trucks are used every day for, again, I hate to use the term, but the first responders, if you have a problem with your house, these trucks have to show up with everything they need to resolve that issue. They carry, it's not like they carry one thing. They have to carry everything that they could need. And that involves locating equipment. You have to find the service outside. In some cases, and if there's snow on the ground, you got to plow just to get to the service box. If you got to shut somebody's water off at 2 o'clock in the morning, they blew a pipe and it's a snowbank. That snowbank's got to come out. They got to get to the box to shut it off outside. They carry pumps. They carry, again, it's hard to explain. You could use a van for an ambulance too, but these things, the amount of stuff these guys carry and the variety, and they're used on a daily, every day. But obviously, if there's a snowstorm, their meter, whatever appointments get postponed because we're in an emergency situation at that point. I just can't stress that enough.
Do you keep, I mean, you know, professional athletes keep records. Do you folks keep statistics as to how many times these trucks go out during the course of a year to service meters? Because I don't think anybody's ever been to my house. I've been there 30 years.
They're out every single day.
Sorry, what?
They're out. There's three trucks out every single day.
No, I asked if you had statistics on how many times they went to service, like in a year. Like, did they go out 1,000 times, 2,000 times to service a meter? That's what I'm asking. Yes, probably don't have any idea.
It's in the thousands. I don't have that number because, again, all jobs are different. Sometimes right. It's just to replace a meter. Sometimes it's just shut the water off, turn it back on. I don't. The department, the division may have that. I don't.
Okay. That's all.
Any other questions from members of the council?
Yeah.
Councilman Sinapi, Council President, sorry.
So just to recap, please keep in mind that the dual purpose nature of the vehicles, given that it's coming from the enterprise funds, is definitely in our best interest, considering otherwise getting plows exclusively will be coming from the general fund or DPW line items, et cetera. Not to mention cost-wise with tariffs, which, as Councilman Lattiser correctly does point out, we have no idea from day to day whether or not we'll have them, but we have to plan accordingly that we may. It's common knowledge that there is a CDL shortage nationwide, unfortunately, and it's only gotten worse year over year. It's also important to point out, as far as this particular package for this particular bid, the director has represented that, in his professional opinion, a lesser package is not viable. So, I mean, to put it bluntly, you either trust the director at his word or you don't, as far as this particular bid and the package within. That being said, Councilman Muto's point is well taken as far as having a plan. While I'm in favor of the bid tonight, just due to the nature of the alternatives, this is the lesser of two evils as far as I'm concerned. I'd rather have it than face the consequences of not having it. That being said, having a plan seems rather, well, I was going to say pivotal, but it would help everyone immensely, not just us, but also help the city. You don't have to sit up there and recite all these things off the top of your head. Instead, everyone knows coming into the meeting beforehand, so we're not stuck questioning it for over an hour. So if we can work on making sure when it comes, especially to capital improvements, because that's literally like, that's where there should be a plan by definition. And it sounds like, frankly, that you have one. It's just that it wasn't like enumerated in the bid or elsewise. So it's just a matter of conveying that to us. And with all due respect, it'll actually help you all on your end as well, because that process will assist in making sure your plan is viable. I know personally, and I think most people will say, when you actually are forced to put down your plan on paper, you are able to critique it and say, oh, wait, XYZ should be different. This could be better. This could be worse, et cetera. So it helps everyone to have one, and it hurts everyone not to. But again, it does sound like you have one. It's just a matter of making sure we are made aware of it prior. So again, I'm in favor of the bid. In all fairness, it's because it's the lesser of two evils. But I trust the director at his word that a lesser package isn't viable. And I fully agree with the dual purpose nature of the vehicles. And I appreciate you all taking the time to explain that to us. And I appreciate the questions too, because we had to get here to find out all this information.
You all set, Mr. President? Thank you. Any members of the council? Any members of the public? Any members of the public have any comments? Hearing none. Put a PCR on this. Madam Clerk. Thank you. Item number four, 2026-100. Sorry. Okay. Need a motion?
Move favorable action.
We have a motion for favorable. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Opposed. Councilman Muto?
Are we doing the PCR?
We're doing the PCR on the trucks.
Opposed.
Okay. So we have two yes and we have two no. So this is a new milestone because of the four-person committee. So I think I need a ruling from the solicitor as to what happens.
I believe when we updated the rules, we provided that items that have a split recommendation still proceed to the full body. And I believe that'll be with no recommendation. So the item will proceed to the council later this evening with no recommendation.
All right, thank you. Just to reiterate, this item, PCR 82-25, will be moving to the full floor without a recommendation, and at that time, be open for discussion. Item number four, 2026-100, Sigcom TRX 50 radios. Chief?
Good evening, Assistant Chief. I'm Ben Howard from the Fire Department. Fire Department's requesting a 56-6 exception to bid for the purchase and installation of a SIGCOM radio fire alarm reporting system. We're seeking an award to Signal Communications of Woburn, Mass. In the amount of $264,781. This will be from the capital expenditures for the Fire Department for fiscal year 26. SIGCOM handles the fire alarm radio communication system for the city, which includes about 1,000 municipal fire alarm receiving or signaling stations in buildings throughout the city. The current project to move our dispatch center to Station 10 requires not just the upgrade, but additional equipment at Station 10 to receive these boxes. So this was part of the project going along since we started this years ago. And this is the last piece of this project that we need to finish to get the ball rolling and complete the project for moving our dispatch center.
Thank you, Chief. Chief, what is it that you have in the capital budget for this item?
This item in the capital budget was budgeted for $300,000. There is still another piece of this project that still needs to come to council. That's the actual antenna system. That SIGCOM does not supply the actual antennas for the system. That's done by a tower company or an antenna company. So we're still getting our quotes and to go out to bid for that.
And that wasn't included in the capital budget?
It is. It's part of the $300,000. So we're looking for $264,000 now from SIGCOM, and then we're estimating about $25,000 to $35,000 for the antenna part. We'll come back another date once we get better idea of the cost of that.
Okay. And this is a sole source provider, you said, right?
I'm sorry?
This is a sole source provider?
Yeah, this is the, SIGCOM holds the proprietary equipment for this system in Warwick. If we ever wanted to switch off of SIGCOM, we'd have to have every business owner, all 1,000 business owners, change their boxes out at several thousand dollars a piece. So that's we don't have any issues with SIGCOM, so there's no reason to switch and put any burden on the business owners.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from members of the council? I'm sorry, the members of the committee. Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Chief. Just really more of a comment versus a question. So I did have a chance to go visit the station on Sandy Lane, a little cramped.
Don't give him any ideas.
But I did notice, and this is really just a general question. It looked like the calls that come in are both for fire and for police in the same building right now. Are you guys separating those, or is it all fire?
On Sandy Lane, that's just the fire and EMS dispatch.
EMS, okay.
The police dispatch center is within the police station here on Veterans Memorial Drive. Okay. They're separate.
Thank you. And besides the crampedness in the building being 300 years old, the efficiencies and benefits that you see with this upgrade for our citizens.
So the system that's currently in there is older than, has been there longer than I've been on the fire department, and I've been here for 27 years. So it's been outdated for a long time. SIGCOM has told us for many years that we need to replace this legacy system. We've been putting it off knowing that this, or planning that this move was going to happen. We didn't want to buy brand new equipment, put it into the building, and have to convert it all to a different system in order to get it to relay over to the new station. So we've been band-aiding the current system for quite a while now, trying to get it to get to where we are at today and get the new system installed.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Napa.
Chief, I just wanted to reiterate something you and I had already spoken about, that this is a one-time cost. There's no ongoing fees for this, and that the preventative maintenance and repairs, in your estimation, are extremely uncommon because this is a very reliable service. Is that accurate?
Yes, it comes a one-time deal. There, it's a radio receiving station. The software and all that is included in the upgrades as long as we own the system. The only maintenance we would need to do is normal repairs if something malfunctions. And like we had talked about previously, in the last 3 years, I looked back. It was about $1,000 in repairs over the last 3 years. So it's, and that's on a 25-year-old system. So its history of maintenance and ongoing costs is very minimal.
Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to thank you, Chief. Item number 5-2026-094, purchase 4 Chevy 3500 heavy-duty pickups.
Christy Moretti, Public Works.
Christy, I think we had more than ample conversation on these vehicles. It might be a different bid, but same issue. The one question I do have is, why are these four vehicles $61,000 versus the other three, which are also $3,500 with plow packages, over $90,000?
So these vehicles are strictly pickup trucks. They don't have the whole utility body and everything. So that's why these are not utility body vehicles. The other three are. These are there's two for the road crew and two for the inspectors. So that's why they're significantly cheaper. So there's not that whole package of add-ons that go along with the utility body. And then obviously the plow package for the same reasons that we stated before, you know, the water division, even the sewer division, they all plow for us when we have an event or, you know, any sort of weather thing. So
a utility body is $30,000 for a utility body?
Is yes, they're $33,000.
And how much did we say an Econoline van was?
I don't know.
I'm just throwing it out there. I have this the same opinions, the same positions, the same everything on this, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse. Any comments from members of the committee? Councilman Napa.
Christy, just had a couple of questions. Director Earls had indicated that these vehicles are assigned to employees, like each vehicle will be assigned to a specific employee.
Yes, the water division, because of the structure of their operation, they have the ability to specifically assign vehicles to an individual, and that's their, you know, they take care of it and make sure it goes in for service, and, you know, if there's something wrong, they communicate with the garage. So, yes, they would be to one person.
If we need to dual task these vehicles and then send them out for plow, would the employee that the vehicle is assigned to be the one plowing, or are those going to be assigned to whomever's coming in on overtime to plow for that evening, day, weekend?
So there's other factors to be considered. You know, if an employee is on vacation, obviously we can't call them in. So if one of these employees is on vacation, we might have a laborer from the highway department jump into their truck, or, you know, like somebody that's, you know, like a, I mean, it's kind of all hands on deck. So we do what we have to do to make sure that, you know, our roadways are open, just like the storm we just had. You know, we have a responsibility to make sure that police and fire can get through if necessary. And, you know, if there's any kind of emergency. So if we have to, you know, assign other individuals to these vehicles for any reason, then we will do that.
Okay. And these vehicles, are they kept at the city yard? These are not take-home vehicles, correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
These
that.
Are not take-home vehicles, are they? They're kept at the city yard? Do the employees take these vehicles home, or are they kept at the city yard?
No, they don't. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. No, they don't take these vehicles home.
Okay, thank you.
Christy, where in the budget are these, is this money is coming from?
The money is also coming from 84799.
Which is part of that 4.1 million that's left as of now?
Yes.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman DeLuise.
Yes, Christy, you said that two of the four vehicles are used by inspectors?
Yes.
So couldn't an inspector go out in a truck that doesn't cost $62,000, couldn't we get a less expensive truck for the two inspectors, maybe $40,000?
So the inspectors, when they go out, not only do they do, like, you know, a new home service or something, but they also do any sort of connections to our system that are, you know, like larger, like businesses and things like that. So they literally have to, like, drive onto easements. They have to drive on to, like, off-road construction sites. So, you know, for them to have a truck that can get them through is obviously the best thing for it.
All right. Well, I wish these things would be explained a little bit better. Maybe we'd have a better time understanding. So he needs a heavy-duty vehicle that can get in and out of these situations.
Yes, they're not just driving up and down city roads or, okay. I mean, through.
That's all I wanted to know.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do you have any questions from members of the public? Madam Clerk, I'd like a PCR on this, please. Thank you. I need a motion on PCR 8325.
Move favorable action.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? I oppose. We have two yes and we have two no. Thank you. Good point. Mr. President, do you wish to convene the council?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let the record indicate it is now 6:32 and the Finance Committee will stand in recess.
All right. We're going to convene the full council now at 6:33 p.m. Clerk will please call the roll.
Here.
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 All right, Councilman Gebhardt, if you could please lead us in the salute to the flag. First, general communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything? Councilman Gebhardt?
I think it's been mentioned a few times tonight, but just kudos to the hard work for all the city employees that was put in over the weekend with the storm and since. So.
Point well taken. Anyone else for general communications? Seeing none. Next, executive communications, we have none. Next is acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on June 16th, 2025. Is there any objection to approving the said minutes as presented? Seeing none, so approved. Next, we have public comment. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the city council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. Excuse me. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers, concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous vote of the council. First up, we have Richard Langseth.
Good
Richard Langseth, Bud Long Farm. As we discussed last time, the mayor has pocketed the request for a solicitor's opinion on the public nature of Buttonwoods Avenue. This is crucial to the harbor management plan, which will be reviewed by the council in September. And if the solicitor's opinion is not given by then, I suspect that there's going to be some retribution, some legal action taken against the city, the staff is not working to get the harbor management plan together according to what the Harbor Management Commission wanted. This month, we have a new problem, and that's the comprehensive plan. On Wednesday, I'll be asked to speak before the planning board about the recreational aspects of the new comprehensive plan. They include shoreline recognition, which of course is public access to the various rights of way to the shore. And I'm not quite sure how, with the harbor management plan stuck, not being able to get an opinion about whether Buttonwoods Avenue is public or private, it creates hardship for me. It's said in the new comprehensive plan, there are 41 CRMC designated rights of way to the shore in Warwick. Now we know that's not correct, and I'll certainly be commenting on that Wednesday night. In addition, there are 36 rights of way to the shore, mostly in the form of beachways or passageways, as well as over 100 public rights of way to the shore from dedicated highway access points. These numbers are probably exaggerated, but it is large. The city of Warwick is going through massive changes, as we know now. Real estate prices are reaching $500,000 for single-family homes. Why? Because new people moving into town really want good public service, and they expect to be able to access the shore. And when the mayor pockets the request for a determination about whether a highway is public or not, that impacts whether people want to move to this city or not. I don't know of any other city in or town in Rhode Island where the government is blocking the ability to even review whether a street is public or not. Now, you all know, I do believe that Buttonwoods Avenue has been a public highway since the 1700s, that's in royal maps. In addition, it's been dedicated to the public by the Buttonwood Beach Association. The Buttonwood Beach Association has gone to the city council and asked the city council to recognize Buttonwoods Avenue as a public highway in 1976, which the city council did. And then in 1976, the city council agreed to abandon a street called F Avenue in the Buttonwoods Fire District, which was a public highway, and by the way, remains that today. Despite the city council action, the Buttonwoods Fire District and Buttonwood Beach Association has decided not to post the road as abandoned. So in 2019, the Buttonwoods Fire District was asked to sign an agreement that it would not maintain the street, which the city council abandoned in 1976. This is a disaster, okay? I don't know why people in Warwick would want the city council to block investigations of this street, which is an extremely important public access to the beaches of Rhode Island. So I would urge my council person, who I've talked to briefly about this, and the others, to move forward and to suggest to the mayor that he release the solicitor opinion so that we can get a
20 seconds, Mr. Langseth.
So that we can get a decent recognition from the city of its prior commitment, its prior 1976 commitment that the streets of Buttonwoods are public, and just move forward. There are just 80, oh, I don't know, 80,000 anymore, but there are thousands of people in Warwick who are served here, not just 100 people.
Time's up, Mr. Langseth.
Okay, people in the fire district. By the way, you didn't give me a minute's notice. Thank you.
Mr. Langseth, she did give you notice. I apologize. There were some issues with the mic. Where'd you go? Rob Cody, you're up next.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. First, a word about the Warwick Fire Department. So my latest public record request on sick time shows the department in the calendar year 2024 took just under 1,700 sick days. Through the documents that I have obtained over the last 10 years, I've been keeping track of it, it clearly shows the same group of individuals manipulating the system and taking 25, 30, 35, and even more days off. Let's be clear, they're not sick. They're scheming the system. They've been scheming the system like an organized theft group for a very long time, and we've done nothing about it. We haven't even pursued the current lawsuit, the litigation, that it's in the Superior Court right now. So no one's doing a damn thing about the controlled theft scheme. So I think what I'm gonna do next month, since I have all the official documents, I think what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna take the worst 50 offenders, and I'm gonna name them here at the podium with the number of sick days they've taken. And I might even name where they work, you know, like the guys that have the tree cutting company, the plumber, the carpenter, you know, I might name that too. Because this is a scheme, it's got a friggin' end. This is nonsense, we're getting robbed. And they don't do anything about it. And now for some current events. This should, you guys should, you'll enjoy this. It's been brought to my attention that last week a DPW supervisor assaulted a subordinate worker by headbutting him while on the job. I've been informed that HR has pressured the victim not to file criminal charges and to contact the police. How many more lawsuits are we gonna, the taxpayer, have to incur? So while I hear the punishment for the supervisor, by the way, same supervisor that we have video of drinking on the job on city property, hasn't been fired. We've got another DiPetrillo situation here. You don't suspend them. They raise a hand to an employee, fired on the spot. But he was suspended and allowed to take home his city vehicle to his home, which is 9/10 of a mile down the road on Sandy Lane. Who's running this asylum? This is insane. So I want to reach out to the victim. I'm very easy to contact. Everyone knows how to contact me. I implore you to contact me so I can connect you with the proper legal counsel to go after this individual and the city and be compensated justly. The public should understand that the atmosphere allowed to proliferate in this department is going to continue to cause the taxpayers more and more cost and legal ramifications. Also, I want a word to Mr. Sinapi. After the last council meeting, I took some time to review several of the public speaking portions of the council meeting since you've been the president. And what I noticed that during the time that the general public speaks, you never make eye contact. As you are now, you fiddle with your computer, you go on your phone, you fiddle with paperwork, and you never make eye contact with the person speaking. That reeks of arrogance and ignorance. And I don't even think you realize it. Contrary to your own popular belief, you are not the smartest guy in the room, which was evident by the comments that you attempted to make to me at the last council meeting, stating that your litigation practices have no bearing within city council chambers with the public. You should check Supreme Court rules and regulations on that, as I have. I'll be more than happy to send you the case information. Anyone can talk about any of your activities in your employment while you are a member of the city council. You have no expectation or right to privacy. And look, the guy doesn't even make eye contact. He ignores the general public. I just can't get over the arrogance exuded by this guy. and he's the council president, right? What message do you think that you're sending the general public? This is not a well-run city, and you're sitting there as one of the main people with this other nitwit in the back office that allows employees to comport themselves in a violent manner, causing us, the taxpayer, to have to write the check. Where does it end? When is someone going to have the balls to step up and stop this? Because the residents of Warwick have had enough. Thank you.
All right, that concludes public comment. Normally we would go back to finance, but unless there's any objection, I'd like to go to public safety as there's, I believe the claimant is here. So rather than making her wait potentially hours, I'd rather handle that first. Does anyone have any objection to go on to public safety first? All right, seeing none, we can resume committees and starting with public safety, please.
Public safety, it is 6:50. All right. First order of business is to accept the minutes. You threw me off, Chair, President. I'm sorry? No. Which, I don't have the page. Which meeting minutes was the last one we didn't have a? May 5th. May 5th, okay. Need an approval for the meeting minutes for May 5th.
Motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Meeting minutes approved. That's right. We got to do this again, right? All right. Also looking for a motion for meeting minutes for May 5th.
Motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All righty. So we have one item on our agenda. It is a claim for road repair, council claim. And the claimant is Brenda Caracuzzo. Yes. Would you mind coming to the mic and just sharing with us just to, while Mrs. Caruso is going to the podium? The background of the claim is that she hit a pothole on Commonwealth Ave, causing damage to her tire. She submitted several quotes in the paperwork for the tire, as well as some of the other requirements, the registration, invoices, and estimates. I'll let you tell your story.
You don't remember me? You don't remember me?
Oh, I remember you. No. Yes.
And your brothers and everybody.
I do.
I don't have too much to say. It's just that I think that it's...
Can you speak into the mic,
please? It's a lot of money for one tire, $400. So I decided to appeal it. And I'm also a former employee of the city of Warwick, and I'm a senior citizen.
I believe half of that. Okay, go ahead.
You believe that I'm a senior citizen?
Yes. No, half of that.
Well, anyway, I'd like to appeal it and get the $300, which is not as much as $400.
Okay.
I think it's very high.
Okay, great. Any questions from the committee?
No? So the director, I believe, is here, and he recommended denial of this claim, so it's here before us under our new procedures. I'd like to hear from the director on this.
Who was that?
Earls. Director Earls.
Director of what? Earls. Highway?
Hi.
Eric Earls, Public Works.
You're director of highway? Director of Public Works, yes.
Who are you?
Excuse me. Just one person talking at a time right now. I've asked for the director's opinion on this.
Yeah, so we follow the standard guidelines regarding the timing of the submission, and this wasn't submitted in that window.
And director, the rules require it to be filed within what time frame?
30 days.
I believe this, that it...
I'm sorry, seven.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And those rules have been there for how long?
It's those are state, right? Those are state guidelines, so I don't know how
state
long.
State guidelines.
Yeah.
I believe
and
that.
And this is the reason why you denied the claim?
Yes.
Because it wasn't filed in a timely manner?
Yes. And I believe there was also language in there about there was some... The tire itself was, I think it was $98, but there was also brake work that was included, which we wouldn't have approved regardless.
Correct. That's exactly right. The one tire is $98. Then it's got front pads and rotors and front pads and calipers or something or other. But in any event, this is why you denied it, because it wasn't filed in a timely manner.
Correct.
Far beyond the 7 days.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. So thank you, Director. This was part of our new process, and appreciate your diligence in going through the process here. I do feel, the claim for the tire and brakes is outside of our tire and the brakes is outside of our refund policy, but the refund for the tire, $98, does fall within that. So I would make a motion to approve the $98 reimbursement for this case.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, before I make a comment on the motion, so I mean we've gone down this road many times in the past, and one of the biggest reasons why the council rules were amended was to have this fall into the director's overview. Mm-hmm. Because that individual has a first hands-on contact of exactly what's going on here. So I guess the question would be, where do you stop? How many times are we going to change the rules? How many times are we going to make adjustments? How many days is okay to be late? Let me back up. I have called department heads on the table constantly for coming to us late with their bids because it doesn't meet the requirements or the rules. And we've had those conversations. We have a situation here where it's a couple of weeks out from what the time frame is. So where do you cut the line? Where do you divide the line? Where do you say it's okay if you're 3 days late or you're 5 days extra late? If that's the case, then change the rule. If you don't appreciate or like or agree with the five-day time frame, and I'm not speaking directly mm-hmm. to you, I'm saying in general, if the body, the council, doesn't think that 5 days is adequate or 7 days is adequate, then change the rule. Make it 20 days instead if you think that seven is not adequate. But right now, the rule is seven. And the director has been charged with this responsibility of making that decision. I think he has made a decision responsibly based upon the rules. And given that there is such a big time frame difference, I'm not going to be able to support that. So again, if we as a body don't agree with 7 days, we don't think it's adequate, then change the rule. Go to the state and change the rule. We didn't make the rules. The state made the rules. That's my position. Thank you.
No, I appreciate your point of view on that, and I appreciate the new process and the guidelines that Director Earls and his team have to abide by. I'm looking at this as the past exceptions, as you mentioned, the rules are the rules, but if timing is the only one and it's within 7 days of the deadline, here we have a constituent that's, filled out the paperwork, but was 7 days late. I'm up to giving the benefit of the doubt for the $98. So again, I'll make my motion to approve.
Is there going to be comments from other members of the council?
Oh yeah, I thought I did that. But any other comments from the council?
So I have a question too.
Yeah. What was the question? Councilman? DeLuise?
I would have to agree with you, Councilman. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars that we spend. I think we can afford $98 to this nice lady. I've hit many potholes. I just replaced one of my tires last week. I think, the director, there's rules, and if we were talking $10,000, then I would have a problem, but I think I'm going to agree with you on this one.
It's from the council?
Yeah, I have one.
Oh, go ahead, Mr. President.
So I'm slightly confused because while the affidavit is dated the 30th, the claim form states that finance was notified on the 17th, which is also the same date as the invoice too. So I'm just not sure what the discrepancy is between one document says the 30th, one says the 17th. So if we could ask the claimant when finance was actually notified.
On the 30th, that's when I got my power of attorney. That's as soon as I could get here. I believe in overall, and that's why I came here, is because mail wasn't always on time either. Either way, and getting things sent in. Maybe it wasn't five, what did you say, 5 days? I didn't think it was, I thought it was less than that. Because one thing was, I got on a Friday and I never mailed it, the answer until the following.
So just for clarification, the date of the incident was April 17th, 2025. Okay. And the affidavit was signed April 30th, 2025, and submitted to finance on 5/1/2025. So I have a document here. I didn't see that.
And I'm looking at this now, and it is signed by the claimant, and it says, I notified the Finance Public Works Department on April 17th, 2025. But yet, at the bottom of this claim form, it's dated 5/1/2025. So now I'm confused.
How many days is that? I thought it was just under the 14th.
It's on the City of Warwick claim form that you had filled out, and you put the date of the incident was April 17th, 2025 at 2 p.m., which is fine. And down further, you stated that I notified the Finance Public Works Department on April, at first it was, looks 17th. Like it was April 22nd, but then that was scratched out to say April 17th. Keep in mind, April 22nd was still been in, within the time frame. And that date you have was April 17th, 2025, but at the bottom of the claim form, you dated it for April 1st, 2025. Now, when you notified the Public Works Department on April 17th, did you do that in writing, or was it a phone call, or how did you notify them on April 17th?
I went in there to, I went to the office.
You went to the office on April 17th?
Yeah.
Okay. By any chance did...
Well, no, for, yeah, at 12th, yeah, on the 17th, yeah. First I got the tire fixed, and then I reported it the next day, so I guess it's 14th.
So you went to DPW's office on April 17th and reported it?
I just said the next day. I don't remember the exact date.
Okay.
But is that what it was then?
Well.
Then I received the denial, and then it was in the 14 days considering mail delivery and weekends and that. So I decided to reappeal.
Mr. Chairman, I guess... You know, given the confusion with the dates,
it's 98 bucks.
It's 98 bucks. Okay.
All right. So again, any other questions from the public? No?
No. Whatever.
I'm not seeing any from the committee, council, or public. I'll again ask for a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the amount of $98.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have the time?
If you do, I do.
Yeah.
What happens 707? Now? Does it that the check sent to me or what?
The check's in the mail. No, I'm only forward. No. Yeah. You have to take that up for them. those are the people with the money.
You have to wait for it to get signed by the mayor, then it'll get sent to finance. Finance will contact you. All right.
Thank you.
That concludes the business of the public and public safety at
7:06.
All right, if we can go back to finance, please.